You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Brexit. The referendum where Britain decided it's never, ever, ever, ever getting back together with Europe. The solution, some may even go so far as to say, has not been tailored to fit and has been far, far from swift. That is a Taylor Swift Brexit hybrid joke, and I'm not even slightly ashamed. The EU initially played it cool. Brussels warned about the changes it would bring, then set about framing the rules for Brexit, even as the rest of Britain came to terms with the breakup and had a panic attack. Not a day goes by that a British journalist doesn't warn about the doom that will follow. Brexit is like a 10-car pile-up in a Formula One race, with wheels, gearboxes and bodies flying everywhere. We can't believe it's happening, but we just can't look away. Shepherding what many believe is an ungainly mess is a woman who must be gifted with enormous patience, Theresa May. She has to wake up every day and deal with it, deal or no deal. I can just imagine the long sighs she lets out as she opens her eyes every morning on 10 Downing Street. The cat isn't helping either. Britain made a boo-boo, and now it's up to a woman to ensure there's no mess. David Cameron, who pretty much caused this mess, was last seen surfing in Costa Rica. The question that's looming large over Britain's gloomy skies in winter is one that you simply cannot escape, like the London Eye. Except, really, it's more like the Eye of Sauron. The question is what Duchess Meghan, in her previous life as a suitcase girl, used to ask. Deal or no deal? Except it's even murkier than the bloodline of the British royal family. Where Britain finds herself in a saga that's as dramatic as any EastEnders plotline is our story of the day. Shepherding you along the central line via Notting Hills and Oxford Circuses to station Brexit or not is me, Rakesh Sharma, right here on Money Control. There, London Tube joke too. Welcome to Money Control.
Editors, pick of the day.
Brexit. 2 months to go.
First things first, because that's what we believe in, first principles. What is Brexit? Why is the UK Brexiting? And why is everyone getting their knickers in a twist over Britain leaving? Well, to be fair, historically, whenever Britain exits something, it tends to leave a bit of a mess. India, Ireland, the Middle East, Africa, you get the drift. With Brexit, the fear is that the mess will be at home. So what is Brexit? The European Union consists of 28 European countries. Now, each of these member states pays to be a member, and in return, they receive access to special ways of working together. That includes being part of a single market, which means that countries can trade with one another, and people can move around freely, as if we were all living together in one big country. Except you, of course, know, as a visitor from India, you need a special British visa, and the Schengen does not apply, and the Schengen does not apply even within a whole bunch of European countries. It's all a mess, but it was all somewhat very kumbaya for people who are within the EU. Then we come to the difficult part, which has been partially responsible for the rise of right-wing politics in some European Union nations. The EU has its own parliament, laws and currency, the euro. The EU was set up after World War II with the idea that if countries work together, they're unlikely to go to war again. Someone say that to Donald Trump. The first mention of Brexit happened in 2013, when David Cameron, that surfer in Costa Rica, spoke about it in the parliament. To give a background to why it came about, I'll quote The Independent, a newspaper in the UK. The British public have not had a direct say on our relationship with Europe since 1975, when we voted to stay in what was then the European Economic Community. In the intervening years, Europe has changed. Then we were voting on joining a common market of 9 member states with a population of 250 million. Today, the European Union has 28 member states and a population of more than 500 million. Successive treaties since 1975 have seen the European Union transform to a fully fledged political union, giving Brussels influence over many other areas of policy. He went on to add, ever since the Maastricht Treaty of 1992, which created the modern European Union, there have been those calling for another vote to take into account how things have changed, with Eurosceptics claiming that membership now represents an unacceptable transfer of powers from our parliament to Brussels. Unquote. Around the time of the recession in 2008 and after, then PM David Cameron, him of the Bullingdon Club and hoity-toity Oxfordness, as well as the overall political class, underestimated the groundswell of public resentment caused by the influx of European migrants to the United Kingdom since the accession of Eastern European countries in the early 2000s. You know, good old garden variety xenophobia, those Polacks are stealing all our jobs, mate, kind of stuff. This anger was ripe for manipulation, and in stepped one man called Nigel Farage and a party known as UKIP, or the UK Independence Party. One thing led to another, and in 2015, Cameron, while campaigning for re-election, promised a referendum on the EU membership if he won. He won. And handsomely too, something even he didn't expect. Well, soon after, in 2016, Brits from all walks of life found themselves following that grand old tradition, queuing up, this time to decide what should be done, leave the EU or stay. The result stunned many, and the condescending jokes about conservative Brits suddenly seemed unnecessarily provocative. Leave won by 51.9% to 48.1% that said Remain. That's 52 to 48. Remember that ratio, because history does not repeat itself, but it does have a way of rhyming. The referendum turnout back in 2016 was 71.8%, with more than 30 million people voting. That is around half the population. The 48% who voted to remain in the European Union, including former Prime Minister David Cameron, surfer boy from Costa Rica, felt that being a member of a 28-nation club is better than going it alone. They felt it was easier for us to sell things to other European Union countries, meaning it was good for businesses and trade. The 52% who voted to leave didn't care. Cameron then resigned as Prime Minister, and in came Theresa May, who was chosen to lead the UK through the Brexit maze. Much harder than the maze at the end of the Triwizard tournament. And at the end of it, there was Voldemort. God knows what happens here. The reluctant divorce was apparently going to proceed. That said, what is the holdup? It's been over 2 years now, so many wonder what's happening and why isn't the breakup happening any faster? Well, for one, the British government is dragging its feet. They don't like it, but they have to do it. Kinda like eating fresh vegetables, I suppose. I like fresh vegetables. I just made that joke because apparently that's the joke to make for people who like fresh vegetables. I like them. But the point is, the British government is doing it because they have to do it. You've committed to it, but God, it is awful tasting, as Theresa May is finding out. For Britain, it turns out ending a 45-year union is not as easy as the Brexiters claimed it could be. Well, imagine our collective shock as we clutch our pearls. The fear of creating some serious unintended consequences, economic or otherwise, is high, and many hurdles have yet to be overcome. CNN claims that some opinion polls suggest the delays, the dangers, and the constant bickering are now a little over 2 months before Britain is due to Brexit its way out of the EU, prompting some who voted to leave to change their minds. Remember the news about Brits googling what is Brexit the day after they voted for it? It's back again. The two parties, EU and the UK, have been trying to work out a divorce deal. You know it's hard, since Great Britain will henceforth be outside of the EU trading bloc. The thought of the UK tumbling out of the EU without a future trade deal scares business people in Britain as well as Europe. The negotiations have been tough. So now, after more than 2 years of wrangling, they've come up with this. A draft agreement, just a breezy 585-page read, you know, just for some poolside reading, that lays out how the UK will leave the EU on Friday, the 29th of March 2019. That is also, by the way, the day IPL 2019 is slated to start, if you're interested in that sort of thing. Either way, it'll be a day to remember. But the UK will stay inside the EU's single market and still be subject to EU laws and regulations until the end of 2020. That will give everyone enough time to hammer out a future trade deal. So yes, probably 2 more years of status quo. The referendum was supposed to be a release of simmering frustrations, not necessarily a game changer. People of the establishment must be hating democracy right about now, just like the American people are hating democracy right about now. So the UK will leave the EU by basically staying in it for another 2 years. Is that clear? Because it's not clear to me. I hope it's clear to you. The point is, by 2020, they will leave the single market, but Brexit is supposed to happen by the 29th of March 2019. Also, the agreement guarantees protections for the more than 3 million EU citizens who live in the UK and over a million UK nationals who live in EU countries to continue to live, work or study as they currently do. There's also, of course, the Ireland issue. Ireland, which is partitioned into the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, is open and could see serious problems because, you know, it was as much an English thing to queue up as it is for them to partition lands they conquered. People and trade move between two islands with ease now. One CNN analysis claims there are fears that could change in a Brexit divorce. The Republic of Ireland is in the EU. Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, won't be in the EU after the split. Normally, that would require something called a hard border, with checkpoints, border crossings, etc. Now, those could seriously slow trade and other economic activity between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. To quote CNN, Irish politicians also fear they could escalate tensions and raise the need for security to be in place. Because let's not forget, Ireland has been a contentious issue in British history. So the next logical question a lot of people are asking is, if there's so much confusion about this referendum and the result therefore, and there is already purchasers' remorse in people who voted to leave the EU, why not a second referendum? Some people do want a second referendum. That's right, a second vote to decide if Britain really wants to Brexit. And it's a pretty popular thought, even among conservative politicians. The Guardian reported about a group of Tory MPs who want Britain to remain in the EU. It said some conservatives claimed that there are 4 million like-minded Tory voters out there who were fed up with being lied to, who recognized the Prime Minister's deal was dead and wanted to take back control of their lives by having another say on leaving the European Union. It was a bold claim to make when the total membership of Right to Vote seemed to be limited to the same few Tory MPs, Anna Soubry, Sarah Wollaston, Dominic Grieve, Heidi Allen, Justin Greening and Sam Giemer and Lee, whose views on a second referendum were already well known. But small steps and all that. Right to Vote Anonymous might now be a bit too niche and too anonymous, but if you build it, people will come. Just give it time. They had been expecting one more MP to appear, but he had pulled out at the last minute. Unquote. But it's not that simple. As the BBC went on to report, stopping Brexit would require a change in the law in the United Kingdom. The European Court of Justice ruled on the 10th of December 2018 that the UK could cancel the Article 50 Brexit process without the permission of the other 27 EU members and remain a member of the EU on its existing terms, provided the decision followed a democratic process. Unquote. That's not all. The BEEB went on to add, and I quote, Prime Minister Theresa May warned Conservative MPs thinking of voting against the deal she reached with the EU that they risk no Brexit at all. This is a reference to another referendum, which is backed by the SNP, that is the Scottish National Party, Lib Dems, Plaid Cymru, the Green Party, a small number of Conservatives and larger group of Labour MPs who want the public to be given the final say, with the option to remain in the European Union. They're trying to get the Labour leadership to back them, but Jeremy Corbyn wants to try and force a general election first. Unquote. CNN reported that influential British leaders like former Prime Minister Tony Blair have been calling for a second vote, but realistically, there's no plan to take this back before voters. Theresa May slammed the door on that idea, just like she slammed the door on many international students, let's not forget, when she was Home Minister, saying a new vote would be a gross betrayal of democracy. Not to mention, it would look rather foolish to keep having elections until you get your desired result. The draft agreement will be voted on by the parliaments of the UK and the EU, and that's that. But of course, we're all far from safe because it's 2019 and life is just like that. A few days ago, on the 15th of January, the UK Parliament resoundingly rejected Mrs. May's proposed Brexit plan. At 432 to 202, it was a historic defeat with more than 100 no votes cast by members of May's own party. A distraught Theresa May said after the vote, and I quote, "Every day that passes without this issue being resolved means more uncertainty, more bitterness and more rancour. The government has heard what the House has said tonight, but I ask members on all sides of the House to listen to the British people who want this issue settled and to work with the government to do just that." Unquote. The Financial Times said, under normal political rules, any Prime Minister confronted by such a savage rejection of their core policy programme by MPs would resign. But Mrs. May immediately signalled that she was determined to soldier on and try to breathe new life into her damaged withdrawal agreement. Terrible British idea. Keep calm and soldier on. May herself survived a scare after her government won a no-confidence motion brought by her opponent, Jeremy Corbyn. The Tories won the vote by a narrow margin of 325 to 306, just a day after May's Brexit plan suffered that political defeat in the House of Commons. Meanwhile, European Council President Donald Tusk regretted the vote, but suggested the solution was for the UK to stay in the European Union. He said, and I quote, "If a deal is impossible and no one wants a no deal, then who will finally have the courage to say what the only positive solution is?" Unquote. In a video that's since gone viral on social media, French President Emmanuel Macron is seen saying that the first losers in a no deal Brexit would be the British. He went on to add, and I quote, "Either way, we will have to negotiate a transition period with them because the British cannot afford to no longer have planes taking off or landing at home and their supermarkets, as much as 70% is supplied with products from continental Europe."
Editor's pick of the day.
Brexit. 2 months to go.
And that's where Brexit stands. Is it any clearer to you than when we started the program? Well, it is not to me. I hope it is to you. In which case, huzzah. After a defeat in Parliament at the hands of backbench MPs last week and the resounding rejection of a Brexit deal by the House of Commons, Theresa May survived the no-confidence vote, but there is now a need to make a statement quickly on a new plan of action. March 29th, is just a couple of months away. As somebody who's only recently returned to Britain to mop up the mess, Mary Poppins would say, Spitspot, hurry along.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.